You know what? Once again, I never need to go out into the woods.
I know.
Is all I'm saying.
This was really not helping you at all. Not changing hearts and minds. With you and your thoughts about camping.
Oh, my God. Hi, Julia Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam, join us on the Patreon. It's so fun over there. Mark your calendars, Pates fam. March 30th is our next drag bingo with the amazing Schwa. We've done two of them already. Tell them how fun it is.
They are really, really, really fun. It's also like one of my favorite things to do, drag bingo, and I don't get to do it very much, and now I get to do it every month, so it's really extra fun.
We got a playlist. Schwa is hilarious. The gift packs that we put together are so fun. It's for anybody at the $5 level or above.
Yeah, and the playlist, I just want to say the playlist is different every time. I want to make sure, like, it's all about you. Like, you are posting
not
in the chat.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, like, the chat is, like,
dear
listener.
Because if it's all about me, it would just be the Indigo Girls.
No, we're not doing that. But Indigo Girls can be on it.
That's true.
Like,
okay.
Maybe I'll throw some Toriyama on, like, in the chat. So Schwa's like, talk in the chat. The chat is on fire the whole time. It's very interactive, is my point.
Yeah, and we're doing virtual happy hours where we're hanging out with you. And, like, that's also where you get all the bonus episodes where we did, like, Love Has Won and Natalia Grace. We're doing Twin Flames.
We're in the middle of Lost Women of Highway 20, which is one of the best documentaries ever made, I think. It's three episodes. Oh, we're doing Still Missing Morgan. That's on the docket, too. We got a lot.
The Patreon is so much fun. It's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed. Go check it out. Also, jump in the Facebook group. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about...
I know.
They called him Mostly Harmless.
I know. The look on your face already.
There's just a lot happening.
I know.
There's a lot going on.
We're using the internet to do something good.
It moved fast. You know, people were throwing out ideas.
He was seen in Georgia. He was seen in North Carolina.
Small bits of personal information that he would reveal.
I was shocked. Holy shit. Like, look at this. This is the guy I camped with.
If you don't mind, can I take a picture? Smiled and clicked his picture.
The hikers were the only people we knew that actually had talked to this person.
He was definitely trying to stay anonymous.
What's his name? Somebody had to get his name.
He said, well, I'm mostly harmless.
If you're mostly harmless, you're also partly harmful.
He seems sincere, like he understood.
People want to project who they want someone to be. It was a gut punch.
I guess there was a dark side I didn't know about.
He was a bad, bad man.
So it's July 23rd, 2018. We hear the 911 call. It's hikers at the Big Cypress National Preserve. They've discovered a dead body in a tent.
Yes.
And it's really gruesome. Like, they're described, like, these hikers are so nice and everyone is always checking on each other. And they opened the tent to check on this guy and they find him dead. They say that he was curled up like he was trying to get out. He looked really skinny. This man was, we're going to learn, he was 83 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, really, really emaciated. And they say it was a weird color. Like, a very, very gruesome scene. But not, like, foul play necessarily, but just, like, this man suffered.
Yeah. And, like, there's a story to get to the bottom of here.
Yeah.
And so we're in Southwest Florida, which is known for the wildlife of the swamplands. We're in the middle of the Everglades.
We're in the middle of the Everglades.
And it's July. And... Detective David Herm is here, and he's like, let me tell you, July is wet and hot and miserable in the Everglades, and, like, you don't really have people camping during this time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, some people are crazy enough to do it because someone called 911 about this.
Right.
So there are people out on the trail, but his point is, like, it's not really a high traffic time in Florida at this part of the trail.
No. I mean, the other thing is we learned...
When we discovered the decedent, we observed that he did appear to be very thin. Thin to the point that it's unnatural. But we found that he did have food, and we found a considerable amount of cash. So it was not like this person was indigent or had no resources available.
It's not like he didn't have any resources available.
Right.
That's the thing. But he also, they find notebooks filled with lines of code. And Detective Dave is like, is he a genius or are these the ramblings of a madman? And I'm like, very good question.
They're like, the one thing we know is that this is not the body of one Patrick Hines.
It's not.
He did not write this.
She would never.
No. For so many reasons, you don't have to worry about finding me out there.
No. So there's, like, no wallet, no credit cards, no ID, no phone, no iPad, no electronics, just a lot of food, a lot of money, and these... notebooks filled with code.
They say they assume he's a local guy. They'd be able to ID him in like 2 or 3 days. But that's not what happens.
And then we cut to Richmond, Virginia at Puritan Cleaners. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that name is wild.
Puritan. I grew up with a Puritan clothing store on Cape Cod.
As in, like, the colonizers with a history of genocide? Those Puritans? Puritans? Puritans.
I don't know. Well, now I'm too uncomfortable to continue the conversation.
I think we can change the name.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with it. You gotta ask Christy, because that's who we're here to talk to.
All right, Christy is a delivery person for the dry cleaners, and that job is not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not for the... She's been in 3 car wrecks. She's been bitten by a dog. Christy is tough as nails. She's a complicated character. We're going to get into it.
Yeah, by day, she's your neighborhood laundry delivery person.
She's, I'm sorry, what? What does she do? What does she deliver?
Oh, God.
I didn't do it on purpose. I just heard.
I forgot.
She's your neighborhood laundry delivery.
Laundry delivery person.
And I'm sorry, this takes place in what state?
In Florida.
I love you so much.
It's not a weird way to
I know
say it.
I don't think it is. Okay, the way you say laundry, different story.
Whatever.
Okay.
By night, Christy is chronically online. That's the point. You know, she's trying to identify unidentified people.
She says,
in this country, there are anywhere from 30,000 to 80,000 unidentified people. Most don't have anybody fighting for them. They're forgotten about. Well, they have me.
They're forgotten about, but they have hurt.
Now, and this is hard. Like, we definitely need to do better with the missing people. Like,
but we need to do better is what I'm hearing you say. I'm saying that, like, the people who are online, like Christy, who are trying to identify these people, also need to do better.
Because they're not really trying to identify people. They're trying to win.
It's a noble cause. And I understand that, like, this is a thing I have a lot of feelings about, because I could see myself being one of these people who's like desperately wants to, because it becomes a puzzle, and you want to help the people out, and you want to fight for the voiceless, and you are in it for the right reason.
I feel like the right reasons go out the window very quickly.
And if that weren't true, there wouldn't be 700 documentaries.
You know
about
what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Travel down the road back again.
Girl, Ritual is back. Hey, you know what's going on out there?
What's going on?
The days are getting a little shorter, girl. That means we've hit the time of year where it's very important that you get more vitamin D in your diet.
Yeah, and I'll have you know that 97% of women ages 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet. We got to do something about this.
Yeah, well, that's where Ritual comes in. Look, you've been taking the Ritual for forever. They've been with us since the very beginning.
Yeah, so Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% in a clinical study, but that's not all.
Get out of town, Ritual.
43%.
I know. But wait, what's more?
These Ritual multivitamins, they're vegan.
Yeah.
They're non-GMO project verified. They're gluten and major allergen free. They're certified B Corp and they're made traceable. They have everything that you might be missing from your diet in these minty fresh pills, and it's all traceable, so it's all on the label.
I heard you sneak in the minty fresh. It's your favorite part.
It's my favorite part because sometimes people struggle with taking pills. And also it becomes like a little bit of a chore.
Yes.
And since it's minty fresh, it becomes kind of fun.
You know what else they're great at? Ritual uses scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainability sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. We need ambitious climate goals,
right,
girl.
So they're helping you and they're helping the planet. Come on, can we get any better?
We love Ritual. They've been with us for forever, fam. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/TCO.
Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today, fam.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And like, it's helping a lot of things. You
exactly.
And the earth. Come on.
Right.
Don't be selfish. Detective David is saying the medical examiner's office couldn't find his cause of death, but we do know he's 83 pounds. There's no trauma, no injuries, no illness. He had Tylenol in his system, but no other substances.
Drugs. And fam, we're never going to get to the bottom of this. We will never find out if he killed himself or if there was some sort of foul play here.
Yeah, and the detective says, like, Tylenol stays in your system for 24 to 72 hours, which means that in the last day or so, he was functional enough to take this Tylenol.
I want to say, in case we forget to say it when we really get to it, we will find out that the autopsy they do on this guy was kind of a shit show. Like, they definitely did not care about him. So I want to say that, like, the autopsy didn't find any, like, a snake bite or a bear bite.
Right.
But we don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. No matches on the fingerprints or the DNA or the dental records. Like, this guy's in the wind. It's like he doesn't exist.
But he starved to death with food in the tent is what it looks like.
Yeah.
So it looks intentional, at least.
And also, for a very long time, I mean, I don't really... I don't mean to get into it. I'm sorry. This is like a very morbid image, but like to get down to 83 pounds, yeah, that's a long time coming.
Detective David is like, what is going on here? There's a truck stop 5 to 7 miles away. There's a major highway like right through the woods. He could have flagged somebody down for help at any time. Like,
and he had tons of money on him.
And he had tons of money on him. Yeah.
All right, everyone shut up. Kristen Adams is here.
My name is Kristen Adams. I'm the, do you want me to say criminal research investigator or investigative specialist? Which one? I'll restart, but which one do you want me to use?
Now, she's either the criminal research investigator or an investigative journalist. She wants to make sure she says it right for the doc. Which one do you want me to
say? And she will start over. If you ask her, she will absolutely say it. She was giving very intense, like, Sarah Turney energy.
I love it.
She's a hero and she's here.
Which one do you want me to use? I was like, Kristen, I'm in love with you. Whatever you want. You tell me. You're running the show, Kristen.
I know.
So she does her usual process, right, as a criminal research investigator and or investigative specialist.
Yeah.
And
we're going to do that the whole time? Where?
No. Okay. She's now, like, badass Kristen.
Yeah.
And she goes through her usual steps and nothing comes up. So she created this flyer and she wanted to turn to the local community for help. So she takes, you know, his height, his weight, eye color, hair color. There's a scar on his abdomen. Hold tight. We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
No tattoos. Teeth were in excellent condition.
Yeah. What they do is they say that they take the photos they had of the dead body and they try to extrapolate what he would have looked like when he was alive based on the photo. And they show us the photo and it is a photo of the dead body. It is the most ghoulish photo.
Well, Christy, I have my issues with Christy, but Christy says what we're all thinking, that he looks like the caveman from the Geico commercials. But there's a big beard happening.
Yeah, the mouth wide open.
Because Detective Dave is like, excuse me, this is not a glamour shot, okay?
No.
We worked with what we had. Christy, we did our fucking best.
But, and you know what? Like, it goes viral and it works. Like, somebody recognizes him, but I don't know. Like, it really looks like a picture of a dead body.
It's not ghoulish. Great, but again, it's not a glamour shot.
But it works. And we meet this woman, Kelly Fairbanks.
I guess I never really paid much attention to composites before. But August 2nd, I was at work. And I decided to take a quick break and sat down and opened up Facebook. And as soon as I saw the composite, I knew who it was immediately.
She immediately knows she had met this guy on the trail.
Now, Kelly is a trail angel.
Yes.
I have become obsessed with trail angels.
Oh my God, really?
So they provide what she says an unexpected act of kindness on the trail.
Now, and it's the Appalachian Trail, just to be clear.
It's Appalachian.
Sorry, Apple. No, you know what? It's not the Appalachian. It's the Appalachian.
Yes,
God
thank
damn
you.
It. You're
thank
welcome.
You. Now,
they're in Appalachia.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I heard from a listener of ours.
Oh my God.
Who she said that I can use her trail name. Her trail name is Backtrack.
Yes.
So,
Backtrack.
I know. We
oh
had this
my
whole
God.
Conversation. She's awesome. But she said, I got so, she was asking like, are you going to cover this? And I'm like, yes, like stay tuned in like 2 weeks we're doing it. But we had this whole long conversation and she told me that she got so much trail magic on her hike. She said sometimes from people who had no idea the trail was even there. The most notable was when she was hurrying to get to a post office before it closed because she needed new shoes because hers, she said, were like shredded and duct taped. A guy driving pulled over. She had actually met him the day before. But when he pulled over, he was like, what are you up to? She told him and he headed off to the post office and like picked up her shoes and an hour later he like finds her on the trail again and he's like, hey, I did it for you, like, so you don't have to go all out of your way and
we
do that.
We see that throughout this documentary.
He didn't even know what the Florida Trail was.
Wow.
So she says that she's going on another long distance hike this March and she still listens to true crime and I was like, hey Backtrack, what are the safety precautions, what do you have?
Yeah.
She carries a satellite GPS so her mom can track her.
Yes.
She sends an SOS to search and rescue if she needs it, so she has that GPS and whatever.
How long is the hike she's going on?
Like a while.
Oh
a
my
long
God.
Time. So I told her, I was like, I'm going to check back in with you. I like marked it on my calendar. So
oh,
I'm going to see
amazing.
I'm like, I'm going to be worried about you. But she also said something. She said that the Florida Trail goes through the Everglades, which we learned.
Yeah.
And that Mostly Harmless was actually found at a campsite just north of when you leave the Everglades. And she said the year that she hiked it, like she hiked where he hiked.
Wow.
And she said that the section was closed because it's on native land. And this was still during the pandemic. So she didn't really see that spot.
Yeah.
And she says that, you know, walking through such a beautiful and unique ecosystem while knowing how poorly our government has treated it made me so mad for the wildlife and indigenous people there. So there's a whole other thing about like the hiking world and trails, about how we're treating native lands and like what the government is doing, but also trail magic is major.
And so the trail fairies
angels.
Trail angels. They just like are people who like live in the area and just like go put like do they hand it to people or do they like put
sometimes
it in places?
Sometimes they leave it places or sometimes they're a little like I think when you're in the trail community, you kind of know, like, coming up on this mile marker, there'll be, like, a place to leave water or a place to whatever. But what Backtrack was saying, my new friend Backtrack, is, like, this guy didn't even know about the trail.
Yeah.
There's something about, like, when you see a fellow human being, like, oh, you're doing this trail thing. Like, what can I do to help?
Yeah, it's just
a cool human nature thing.
Oh,
so
fun.
Thanks for the intel backtrack.
That's amazing. Well, that's Kelly Fairbanks' story. She was a trail angel, and she said she met this guy, who our dead person here, 6 months before he was found dead on the trail. And she said,
that morning I put together a little baggie of things, crackers, Kool-Aid mixes, and I found a hiker. He was walking towards me. It looked like an older man. His eyes gave away that he wasn't that old. He had younger looking eyes, very beautiful eyes. Oh, yeah, he was cute.
She said he was cute.
Yeah.
She introduced herself as Kelly, and he said, I'm mostly harmless.
Now, this isn't anything weird to Kelly, because she's like, well, every hiker has a trail name, and it's usually given by another hiker, and it's based on something that happens on the trail. Like, a name happens, and then it sticks, and then it's like, that's your trail name.
Yeah.
So here's the story of Mostly Harmless, of that name.
Yes.
It was, like, nighttime. He came upon people sitting at a campfire, and the people invited him to join, but they were like, oh, as long as you don't bite. And he goes, oh, well, I'm mostly harmless. Just a little hiker humor.
Just a little hiker humor.
And so that's the story of Mostly Harmless.
I said this to you before we started recording. In what universe are you in the middle of the fucking woods, in the middle of the night by a campfire with your friends, and a stranger walks up and you're happy to see them?
Well, it's interesting because we're saying this is like city hicks and city mice, but we've learned in this documentary, it's a major community and a family. And if you're a fellow hiker, we look out for you. We make sure you're safe. So I think their instinct would be like, you need a place to sleep. Yep. You need warmth. You need food.
Just like, don't fuck it up for people. Don't go out there and be a creep. Okay. That's all I'm asking.
And I think our like trail friends might say like, it doesn't happen as often as you think.
Yeah.
Like, I think they go out very prepared and they have, but there is sort of this like understanding amongst trail people that it's like, if you need help, you got the help. If
trail
you need something,
people, they're called
trail
hikers.
Friends, but like trail angels, I just mean like all like trail angels aren't necessarily hikers.
I
meant it lovingly.
No, it just, we sound like such, the people on the trail, they're called hikers.
They are, but they're also like friends of the hikers and the trail angels. I'm like fascinated by this whole thing.
Well, Kelly's got a bone to pick with Mostly Harmless.
I asked him if he was using the Florida Trail app. And he said, well, I'm not carrying a phone. And I said, what do you mean you're not carrying a phone? He's like, I just wanted to disconnect. You know, sometimes people want to do that. I thought it was kind of reckless and dangerous.
And she doesn't think this is cool. She thinks this is reckless and dangerous.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you, Kelly. Like, I want to disconnect. I want to go off the grid. And the cops are like, let's step in here.
Can we get an
They think this is totally intentional and very unusual.
Yeah.
Because like I was saying, even our friend Backtrack in my DMs, like, she has a GPS thing. Like, she's preparing, but weeks before she's even going, like, here's how I can find help or people can find me.
Because what people are saying without saying it is that, like, the Appalachian Trail, if you are a gifted hiker and you are also a murderer, then of course, like, what a great place for you to go and hide out. And like, if you want to be off the grid and want nobody to find you, like, we were talking about this in some other recent episode where Brian Laundrie and the Gabby Petito case, people assumed when he vanished that he was, like, living on the Appalachian Trail.
Right.
Because he was, like, a skilled hiker. So it is scary.
He was like really in the bunker at his parents' house, right?
Yes.
He was like under the flower bed.
Yes, he was under the flower
bed. Pieces of shit, all of them.
I know. But yeah, it's scary. And it was surprising to me how unusual everybody was saying that these people who want to go off the grid don't have any means of communication.
Right.
And I was good. I was happy to know that like you stand out if you're like that.
Yeah, there's kind of like a protocol. Like I know you want to be off the grid and kind of like do your own thing, but there are like certain rules, unspoken or not, that people kind of want to follow on this trail.
But so Kelly asked him if she could take a picture of them, and he said sure. And this is the first time we see a picture of what this man looked like when he was alive.
I gotta tell you, it's the photo, it's the digitized
100%
photo. Like,
yes,
it's the
live
caveman
version of the dead photo that they put in the flyer,
and his beard is really big.
Yes.
And that was really the majority of that digital photo.
Well, she posted in the Florida Trail group, like Facebook group or whatever.
But and all of her groups. She's in a lot of groups. She like posted everywhere.
And tons of other people have pictures and video with this guy.
But she says,
the trail community is like family. So there was shock that this was our hiker and he was deceased. Other trail angels were tagging people that I hadn't tagged. It moved fast. You know, people were throwing out ideas. Check here, check there. Then it started branching out to the Appalachian Trail groups.
everyone wanted to get to the bottom of it. Because it's kind of like, no, this is our house.
Yes.
No. We look out for each other here.
But the point is, he hadn't just been in Florida. Like, there were pictures and videos of him in Georgia, North Carolina, and Florida. Like, he'd been on the trail for a while.
Yeah, there's like GoPro videos. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And everyone is like, he was really friendly, really outgoing, really pleasant.
Yeah.
Like, just a great guy to kind of cross paths with. Very, very pleasant.
Wait, so we meet some of the other hikers that he met. We meet Dennis, and he tells us that he knew this guy as Denim. And he said he was carrying a huge backpack, to which everybody tells us he's carrying a huge backpack. And I always say, oh my God, what's in the backpack?
Right.
It's nothing nefarious. It's like his clothes and food and stuff.
Yeah, but it's like too big for what he was doing, especially in July.
Yes.
At one point, we'll just say it now. At one point, he's like, oh, all my winter clothes are in here. It's like, bro,
right.
It's July.
I was just glad to know that it wasn't a body, to be fully honest, not making a joke. But he had told people he was from a bunch of different places. He'd said he was from Brooklyn, the Bronx, Louisiana, Saratoga, Sarasota. Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, I never got his name. I
and
just know
no
his
one
trail name.
Got his name. Yeah.
And so based on all this information, he also worked in IT. And based on all this information, the cops are like, all right, he'd been traveling north to south. Right.
Yes.
And this is unusual because it's thousands of miles. And we learn that 3,000 people attempt the AT, as they say, every year. And some parts are super heavily traveled and others are really desolate.
Yes.
And so you also have to have like a certain level of determination and planning and fitness. Like, it's not really like his journey is not for amateurs.
Right.
To walk through several states is like, you don't just be like, you know what, I'm going to hike the entire Appalachian Trail today.
But he gives himself away that he is new to hiking in a couple of important ways.
He started the trail wearing jeans. That's a no-no. You want the thinner cloths that wick away moisture, that kind of thing.
For experienced hikers, they would know not to wear jeans. They would know not to carry a very heavy backpack.
This is somebody who, for whatever reason, decided to start hiking in the recent past.
No experienced hiker who's going to be like traveling like thousands of miles would carry a pack like that.
But also people mention many times that like there's always an element of wanting to escape. And whatever that means to you, right? Like,
well,
part of it.
That's part of the mystery here. It's like, why is he? Is he trying to just disconnect and reconnect with himself? Or did he do something awful and he's at least hiding?
Yeah.
Girl, Rocket Money is back. You know how much I love Rocket Money.
Yeah, here's a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about?
I am one of those I'm one of those hot dummies, fam. And that's where Rocket Money comes in, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. But that is not all they do.
Yeah, because the thing is, you can't go to a website without signing up for something these days, truly.
Yes.
And they make it a little tricky for you to get out of it. And that's one of the many reasons Rocket Money is so good.
I went through the other day, I had this subscription to this file converter thing that was $27 a month. I had to watch a YouTube video on how to unsubscribe from
it. How they want
it. They do it that on purpose.
But not with Rocket Money. Not on Rocket Money's watch. We're not doing this.
Also, Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you. You do not have to get on the phone. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to send an email. Rocket Money does it for you.
Yeah, and for my visual friends out there, they have this really awesome dashboard that shows you this month's spending compared to last month.
Oh my
God. So you can see like all the magic they're working and then you're like, look at that. And you can also create a custom budget and keep your spending on track. So Rocket Money's really helping you out.
I'm obsessed. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah, it's saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
It's outrageous. So, fam, stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions like I did by going to rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
Rocketmoney.com/obsessed. I use this every month.
That's really unbelievable.
I know. It's wild.
So Mostly Harmless had a lot of contact with Magpie, aka Marge. She has a lot of dogs. She needs more coffee. And goddammit, she built that porch.
I probably already told you that.
These are all facts.
Yeah. She's got a lot of dogs. And those dogs look unruly.
Yeah, but they're great. And she's like, oh, there's a sign that's like, beware of dogs. She's like, that's all for show. Like, that's fine. Come on in. They're all great. You know
what? We should put one up for Golden.
Magpie, I believe you.
I know.
Magpie rules the roost there.
She absolutely rules the roost. The way Golden rules the roost in our house.
Yes, for sure.
He keeps us up all night barking. What do we do about that?
Why is he barking?
I don't, that's really a question I have for you.
Okay. Let me talk to him.
Okay.
Let me go over. We'll have a little one-on-one.
Thank you so much.
I'll get to the bottom of it.
He stands at the window and barks. He barks at other dogs on the street.
Well, okay. Well, that's, you answer your own question.
Okay.
Like, does he have to go out? Is he fed? Is
Can
he
we
good?
Make him stop?
Does he have to go outside to go to the bathroom?
I don't, I mean, we take him out plenty.
Okay. Let me talk to him. Right. I'll get to the bottom of it.
I really appreciate it.
But Magpie says, she's like 68 years old, and she says,
most people hiking are in a big hurry, especially the young men. I am never surprised that an old lady like myself is easily dismissed as irrelevant. So, yes, I was pleasantly surprised that this young man would talk to me.
This kind of broke my heart. She's like, you know, I'm not surprised that an old lady like myself is easily dismissed as irrelevant. And
well,
I'm like,
because she says she's 68 and she decided she was going to hike half the Appalachian Trail just to see if she could do it.
Yeah.
But that's why she was saying that this guy, Denim, a.k.a. Mostly Harmless, would like, and by the way, that's why his original trail name was Denim, because he was wearing jeans.
And it's like, why are you wearing jeans on
yeah.
the trail?
But he stops and like connects with her, and she's like really appreciative that this like young guy wants to like hang out and talk to her.
Yeah.
But she keeps encountering him like over and over again.
A lot. And she says, like, there's this, you know, where'd Magpie come from, right?
Yeah.
And she says, it's a big noisy bird, but I don't like shiny objects. And so Mostly Harmless says, like, that's totally something a magpie would say. And then he hands her the shiny gum wrapper.
Uh-huh.
And there's this myth. I Googled this. I was like, what's with the magpies and the gum wrappers? Uh-huh. Like, what am I missing? There's a myth that magpies like collecting shiny things. Of course, there's like research and studies that refute it.
Uh-huh.
But there's like this old myth about magpies.
Do you know that Daisy will tell you that she's a magpie because she loves picking things up off the ground? She'll pick up a quarter, she'll pick up a penny.
Daisy is like, look at me, I'm in my magpie era.
She literally, she'll pick up a dime off the street. I'm like, Daisy, don't pick that up. Daddy, you know I'm a magpie.
What?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's literally, if I were to call her right now and say, why do you pick up dimes off the street? She'd say, because I'm a magpie, Daddy.
And stop,
you know I'm
busting
a magpie.
My balls about it. Just let her be a magpie, goddammit. But MJ Magpie loves connecting to people.
Yes.
And she's like, I felt real. This is a theme that we're gonna hear now, but at least she met this guy.
Yeah.
But she's like, I knew him in his soul. Like, we were kindred spirits. And she goes, he was kind to me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really what she was looking for, because she loves connecting with people. And he was nice to her.
He was nice to her. He's like, and everybody that we encounter, that he encountered, everybody has the same story. He was very nice, very sweet, very gentle to them.
Yeah. And again, the jeans, the big backpack, he just started hiking very recently. Like, he's very obviously not that experienced. And everyone is sort of confirming that.
Yeah. And Magpie tells the story that, like, later on, she ran into him in a cafe where he's, like, eating or having coffee with, like, a young woman, like, on the trail.
Yeah.
And he calls her over. And the point of this story is to say that, like, she asked him his real name and he didn't want to tell her. And
I said, well, if we guess it, will you tell us? Oh, yeah, he'd do that. So I just went down the alphabet. It was just for fun. But I think he did tell me his name. But I could not remember.
And but now that everybody is like desperately trying to find out this guy's real name, she's like, he did tell me his name, but I can't remember.
Thanks a lot, Max.
I know.
No, Max, you're doing great. Because all of these people are like, oh, I met him. Here's this video of him. Here's this image of him. The cops release another poster and there's more photos of him and they list some of his equipment.
Yeah.
And then they get another call and there's a person saying, oh, I sold that tent to Mostly Harmless. Here's the thing. Unfortunately, he paid cash, which is $452.63, which is a lot of cash to have on you on the trail.
Which is also a very expensive tent. I mean, I guess if you're like living in it in the woods for a while, you want to go deluxe.
That to me sounds like
$420 for a tent?
$450? I would think if you got to get the best, right?
Okay.
I don't know.
I just remember like the little pup tents we would get to like sleep in the backyard,
but
that
not
were like
$8. Go out there for months.
I know.
You're sleeping in the backyard.
Totally.
You can use your bathroom and get
yeah.
a soda and whenever you want.
For clarity, because I know you're all very worried about me right now, I definitely never made it the whole night.
No.
I would be back inside before 11.
No.
Like, I'm going to sleep outside.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
We all know. I don't know who you're convincing. We've been doing this for a long time. We know you.
Can
quite
you
some time.
Imagine me no. being like, Dad, Mom, can we sleep in the backyard?
No.
Because it was long enough ago that my parents were still married.
Oh, my God.
I never made it. Not once.
I did it. There was some, I don't know how old I was, but there was something like in the camp I went to. It was like adventurers. And
oh.
I was like an adventurer for a summer. And it was tough, man.
Like, what did they make you do?
Oh, we like camped. We were like out in the outside and we like made our food. Yeah, it was. We like did it for real.
Can you see my face?
I know, I can.
You made, what do you mean you made your food?
I was all can't, you know, heating the food, but we had to get like, oh, make sure you have your like, All the hikers are just like, this fucking idiot. But
all the trail people, all, or whatever,
yeah, all like the plates and silverware that all are like in it, they like fold in on themselves, so it's very compact, and you can like put it in your whatever sleeping bag with the pillow, like the whole nine. But Mostly Harmless stayed at the hostel next door of the place he paid cash for the tent.
Yeah.
And now this place didn't let hikers sign in under a trail name. There was a rule that you had to use your actual name.
We looked through the logbook of everyone that stayed there and found that he had signed in under a name.
So he signs in using the name Ben Billamy.
Yeah.
And we know that because he also, you write your trail name under it, and he wrote Denim. So this was before his trail name was Mostly Harmless.
And this is another dead end. The cops are like, this was nothing. This was an alias.
Yes.
There's no Ben Billamy.
Which to me, I'm like, well, then why do they even require you to use a real name if they're not going to check your ID? Because like, that's clearly what happened.
Right. Like, is he a suspect in a crime? Like, why doesn't he want to know like what's going on? So... okay.
I know. Let's do this part quickly.
I just have questions. So we meet Nicholas Thompson. He's the CEO of The Atlantic. He's out for a run in Brooklyn.
He is a very fit man. And that's all. I'm going to leave it right there.
But what I want to ask you is this. How does this end up in the documentary? Like, he's running in the middle of the street in Brooklyn like he's Kelly Ben Simon. And I'm like, what is the conversation with the production crew?
Well,
where they're like, let's go to your beautiful Brooklyn townhouse or, you know, brownstone, I mean. And he's like, you want to get me running first?
I
have a run at 8 a.m.
I spent a considerable amount of time on his Instagram today.
I'm sure you did.
And just looking at the articles. It was like, running is a big part of his life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
My question is, logistically, what is this conversation with the production crew to be like, but let's make sure we get this beautiful shot of you running.
Like, they probably just want any kind of interesting B-roll they can get. Like, let's get him running.
He's like, that's my thing. I get it. I was just going to say, it's no shade to you, Nicholas. But my question is like,
leave my entire family for him, I just want to know if you guys are going to get along at the Christmas party.
Of course.
Okay,
I'm going to ask him. My first question is going to be like, what was that conversation like?
Yeah.
Who brought up the running in the middle of the street?
And I'll be like, babe, I told you she was going to ask you that.
It's a valid question.
It's okay, babe. I'll tell her.
Right. I'm asking with a smile on my face. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just a curious person, curious about how things work in the world, and I'd like to know what the conversation with production is when they're like, let me get a shot of you running in the middle of the street in Brooklyn.
I agree.
Because then he's running down the street, and then he goes onto the sidewalk, and then he like runs up the stairs of his gorgeous brownstone. I'm like, there was a conversation. I'm curious what it was. That's all. That's it.
Well,
sue me.
He's the CEO of The Atlantic currently. He's formerly the editor-in-chief of Wired, and he gets an anonymous email about this hiker. And he's thinking,
Wired is a magazine about the big issues in tech. For example, privacy. Recognizing just how hard it is to disappear in 2020. I thought, this is really interesting. So I said, you know what? I can make this a story.
Like, I know how hard it would be to accomplish, like, disappearing in 2020.
Yeah.
He thinks it would make a really interesting story. So he starts investigating.
Right. And so he has the notebooks of code because the cops have released them. And we're going to go through this quickly.
This is kind of boring and goes nowhere.
The guy's a programmer.
Yes.
So there were instructions for a game called Screeps, which is a programming game for programmers. It's like the nerdiest programming thing you can get. And I say that with love because my brain doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
But you create these worlds and fortresses. And basically, like, he wrote this code that will protect your fortress and attack other people. So the game is playing while you're not here.
Which is interesting because he did like make this game to like outlive him, essentially.
Right. So the code just goes on forever and he's hiking the Appalachian Trail, but his fortresses are still protected and they're attacking other whatever. So they go to the people, like the programmers behind this game, and they're like, hey, this guy's missing and the code to this game, like, can we have his information? And they're like, absolutely not. We respect everybody's privacy. Move along. And that's the end of that
story. And it's kind of the point of all of this is to say that Nick, the CEO of Wired or whatever, is saying, like, the reason why people are having a hard time finding this guy online is because he clearly was in programming, which means he was really able to scrub himself from social media.
This is all very intentional.
It's all very intentional because, like, you cannot find him online.
And then it's like, right, but why?
Right.
Why is it so intentional?
Right. Like, what is going on? Why is he in the woods without a phone, like, trying to live off the grid and not telling anybody his real name? Why?
Speaking of the internet, Christy, dry cleaner, internet sleuth, she's made moderator of the Facebook group about this case, and she's annoyed it took her this long to be asked, honestly. Christy always wanted to be an FBI profiler. Didn't happen.
No.
And then the tragedy of her family's house burnt to the ground and changed her entire life.
Yeah, and, like, she never got to go to college. She had to put her dreams on hold, she said. And, like, she says she channeled her energy into this case. And it is sad because Christy is good at this. Like, she is good at using the internet to, like, get answers or whatever. And I think if she had had the training, she maybe could have used her powers for the forces of good.
Yeah.
I know. It's complicated.
We disagree.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Travel down
the road back again. Girl, Miracle Made is back. As soon as this ad copy came through, I was like, oh my God, I love Miracle Made.
Yeah.
These are the sheets that are all about like the self-cooling, which I am the hottest sleeper in the entire world.
Yeah.
I live for my Miracle Made sheets.
And I'm a very hot sleeper too, but I thought it was just like annoying to me. I didn't really know that your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your sleep quality.
Totally.
I just thought that I was grumpy because it was too hot.
No. So listen to this. Miracle Made sheets are thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long so you get better sleep every night. I literally noticed a difference when we switched to Miracle Made sheets.
Yes, but you're not getting the high price tag of other luxury brands, and it feels as nice, if not nicer, than sheets used by some 5-star hotels. You know how I love me a hotel bed.
I do. Slipping into my Miracle Made sheets every night, I honestly love it so much.
It is. It's like I look forward to it.
I know.
Too much.
So fam, you gotta get the Miracle Made sheets. Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%.
And if you use our promo code TCO at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Oh my God.
And as a gift? Good idea.
I know.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Do what I did, fam. Upgrade your sleep to Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/TCO and use code TCO to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/TCO to treat yourself.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode and for honestly giving me like the coolest night's sleep.
I mean,
it is a dream.
It's always like the cool side of the pillow. Always.
It's true, though. It really is.
The best. It's 6 months into the case.
Yeah.
Hundreds of tips. 2 maybe are helpful.
Right.
The case is at a standstill.
The cops are wondering, what else could we possibly do? What do they come up with, Jillian?
Enter Christine Gill. They make a freaking podcast about it.
Of course. They make a true... You want to get to the bottom of something, you make a true crime podcast. Have we talked about media pressure yet?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Go listen to Julie Marie's podcast about her missing sister.
So Christine Gill is here, and she is the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office Public Relations, and she's hosting it. It's called Sworn Statement.
Yes.
It launches in March of 2019.
Can I just say... When they're showing us like the recording of this podcast, the documentary switches to like true crime podcast music.
Yes,
and you see, it looks like they're doing a parody of a true crime podcast. It looks like they're making fun of us.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, they're probably a little like, we even did this.
Right.
What's next? You're calling a psychic?
I know.
I get it.
Why don't you call my mom and tell her where she can watch it?
Right.
You know?
I love Christine.
Yeah.
Because she
too.
Has a great like podcast cadence. It's great.
But she's saying that the podcast works because it's a mystery.
He was such a mystery. And I think that was something that kind of piqued everyone's interest.
We got 10 or 12,000 listens the first couple months. When we hear stories like this of a man who died alone, not having breathed his real name to a single soul for the last year of his life, we want to know why.
He didn't tell his real name to a single soul for the last year of his life, and people want to know why.
Except Magpie, and she doesn't. She didn't write it down.
And I do wonder if he actually did.
I think Magpie might be... I think anyone would do this. Go back and be like, was it Kevin?
I know, right?
Was it Mark?
I know.
I'm sure in her hindsight, she's like, he probably did, and now I didn't. It's like, Magpie, you're good.
Exactly.
You built that goddamn porch.
Absolutely.
So Natasha is here. She is, quote, an outdoor enthusiast. She does not identify as a member of the true crime community. How dare you?
I said outdoor enthusiast. Can you find 2 words in the English language that describe me less?
But she... No.
No.
But she...
Like not a drinker?
Yeah. That too.
It's 3 words, but it gets the job done.
Lots of words.
You know what I mean?
You already have your trail name.
I know. Mostly Fabulous. I'm obsessed. I need a t-shirt that says Mostly Fabulous.
You do. So Natasha's awesome. She loves the outdoors. It's like home to her.
Yes.
And she's saying like... Again, she's reiterating, there is a commitment to take care of each other when you're on these trails. You don't leave anyone behind. She's like, this is my community. I want to help. I want to get in there. So she gets into Christie's Facebook group.
Yeah.
And immediately I'm like, hey, Natasha, are you a listener? She's like, it was chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos down here, Tom. Because Natasha and Christie clash immediately.
This is where I want to take a minute and pour one out for like the great Facebook group moderators.
Yeah. Because it's a tough job. It's
listen,
a really hard gig.
I know I'm always telling the Facebook group because it's a great place Fine community. We have the most amazing mod in Facebook group history, Sasha, our moderator, who keeps things positive and deals with anything that comes up. And the point is, Christy is the moderator of the group dedicated to this case, and they say she's running it with an iron fist. Like, it's chaos. There's theories that the guy's an international spy, a time traveler, an alien, a reincarnated ghost.
Yeah, and another theory, he couldn't see, so he couldn't find the food in his tent. Cut to Detective Dave, and he's like, yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah.
This is stupid. So we're with Brandon.
Yeah.
And Brandon met Mostly Harmless / Denim in Georgia.
I want to put everybody at ease. If you're afraid that he's not going to sing to us in this episode, I want you to not be afraid.
Oh, no, he's singing.
He's going to sing.
Oh, he's singing. Now, Brandon started hiking the trail at 17 years old, and he has a really... I feel for him so much in the story because he's like, yeah, the trail is fun, but like for me, it was all about growth and healing.
Yes.
Because Brandon explains.
I first started going to the trail when I was 17. I was just dealing with so much like anger, and I felt it would solve my problems to kind of pack up and go and just go hike and restart and maybe not come back.
He channeled all of that into starting to hike the trail at 17.
Yeah. And he meets Denim, a.k.a. Mostly...
Harmless.
God, all I can think is Mostly Fabulous.
Yeah, of course.
Mostly Harmless 8 months before he dies. And, like, this is another one of those stories where, like, Brandon is just, like, out in the woods, like, doing his own thing. He sets up camp for the night. He, like, starts a fire and sees, like, a scraggly, terrifying-looking older man walk up. But, like, Brandon is thrilled for the company.
Yeah. And he's like, look, we had a really truly lovely evening of deep, meaningful conversation. They were talking about girls and sci-fi.
I was like, oh my God.
Denim, Mostly Harmless, was going through a very recent breakup, which is important.
Yes.
You know, talking about their childhoods. Like, they both had really aggressive father figures in their lives. Denim's dad tried to fight him in the backyard, and he wants to get away from that life. And Brandon's like, dude, I relate. At 3 years old, and this, I was like, Brandon, I love
three.
This. He goes, at three, I don't love this part of it, but I like how Brandon tells this. He's about to talk about his stepdad, Rob, and he's like, should I say his name? Ah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes. So Brandon's like, he says that his stepdad, Rob, started his reign of terror when Brandon was three.
Like, Jesus.
So, yeah, of course, by 17, he's out walking the trail trying to heal and grow and sort of, like, reflect on what's going on. So he's saying it's really special to connect with someone on a trail, but when you relate to someone on that level, it's even more important and special.
And I gotta tell you, like, all outdoors jokes aside, like, there is something so magical about connecting with a stranger in the woods at a campfire.
The sound of the campfire, the
deep
sound.
Deep and emotional, like
the
that.
Smell of the
totally.
Earth.
They probably both cried.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they felt seen and heard. And like, it's a really specific thing. It's like, I get it.
There's a whole lot of like, I love you, man.
And like, it's okay. And very like Goodwill Hunting. It's not your fault. And because it's not your fucking fault, you know? And so whatever.
But then it's also like the next morning they get up, they have breakfast together. Brandon's like, he ate a lot.
He ate,
which is crazy because he starves himself to death 8 months from
now.
But then they say that like they walk for a minute and they get to the intersection of the trail, like one path goes one way and one path goes another.
Like in all the senses,
in all
right?
The senses. And Brandon is like, are you sure you don't want to keep in touch? And Denim, a.k.a. Mostly Harmless, like shook his head sadly and was like, bye, bro.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And so a year goes by and this is where everyone's like, what's weird is that he didn't have anyone looking for him, like no family, no friends. And he has this history of abuse and he was going through a recent breakup. So like maybe no one was looking for him.
Yeah. And Natasha, who is a member of Christie's Facebook group, she's like, here's what I want to do. I want to reach out to every single hiker who encountered him and see what info we can get. And Christie, the mod of the group, the one who works for the dry cleaner, is saying no. And she's saying, like I said, she's running things with an iron fist.
Everything had to be done through Christie. Posts had to be Christie approved. Searches had to be Christie approved. If you want to submit something to Collier County Sheriff's Office, guess who you have to tell you're going to do that?
Sometimes you have to be the hammer and frankly not be nice to get stuff done.
Are you telling me that Christie made it that you had to ask her before you Google something? Give me a break.
Or did you mean like search the group? Because we have our Facebook group set to like, it's post approval. So like Sasha approves the post before they go up.
I'm getting the sense that like you can't search or reach it or whatever. And I understand like you don't go real life. I think that's different.
Yes, yes.
But like
Christie was very much like she had one way she wanted to do it. It was her investigation and everyone worked for her.
And you had to go through her. Yeah. Like she was the gatekeeper of all of it. And it's like, are we trying to find this fucking guy or not.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you need great, like Sasha at our group is so democratic. If people, if listeners have ideas about the way the group can be run better, you go to Sasha and Sasha's probably like, okay, great, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And Christy's like, sometimes you have to be the hammer in order to get stuff done. So
yeah.
Christy's kind of wearing this like toughness as like a badge.
Yes.
And so Natasha's like, well, actually, now if we're getting into it, Christy sent me a message telling me to go fuck myself. And lots of people are saying they don't like me. And I'm like, isn't that a Trump thing? Many people are saying,
yeah, yes.
Right? So I'd love to see the screenshots because Christy feels attacked. Natasha says Christy's attacking everyone.
Yes.
Like, talk is cheap, baby. Show me those receipts.
It's also like, aren't we here to find this guy's identity?
Well, Detective, you know what I mean? Dave is like, oh, when it starts becoming Days of Our Lives, I move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes. I'm like, girl, same.
But Christy feeling attacked, she quits the group. Natasha becomes the new moderator.
Christy's taking her toys and she's going home.
Yes.
Christy's not going to have that. So she, like, you know, kind of storms and huffs and puffs and leaves the group.
Yeah.
And within 2 days, Natasha is here to tell us that she's voted as the next mod. And she's like, the group selected me.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this hatred runs deep.
It runs. And look, we're not done with it yet.
We're not.
We're not.
I get it, Natasha. I hear you. Yeah. So Natasha's like, great, I'm the mod. I'm going to jump in and get to work. So she's super organized. And like the shade.
I know.
She's like, yeah, so I just thought, you know, let's have an album and not like a scattering of photos throughout the group. Right. And I'm like, Natasha, why there weren't albums and making this organized to begin with is a like, she's on the right track for sure.
That's why I could never do Sasha Stop. Like, are you kidding me? I can't organize shit. Are you kidding? I can't believe I'm even here in the booth with you.
We got to say, I can't either.
It's on the calendar and I'm here.
Like,
what?
On time?
I know.
Ridiculous. So, yeah, you got to stay organized. If you're actually trying to do some good here and you're not just trying to like be the boss of everyone, you need to get organized.
And that's what Natasha says. Like, that's when I realized no one had talked to Mike Gormley. Mike Gormley was the last hiker to see Mostly Harmless alive.
AKA Waterboy. His show name is Waterboy.
Well, now we cut to Mike Gormley, like in his retirement community, where he is leading a square dancing class.
It's a round dance, which I'm assuming is a square dance, but round.
Okay, great. Grand square and turn. 1, 2, 3, 4, and bow to your partner.
Bow to the partner. And the corners, 2 off, 4 ladies, chain across.
And everyone's like, great job, Mike.
I know.
He's like, thank you, everyone. Let's take a quick 5.
I know.
We'll be right back where we started.
I love that you've got questions about the running, but you don't have questions about the hour they spent filming the round dancing
That
test?
All makes complete sense to me. Okay. Mike is a nice, soft-spoken, well-rounded guy.
Yeah.
He's a perfect caller for the local round dance.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to like and respect him.
And he does make them all thank their partners, and they all do.
Right. And then they're
very heteronormative, this dance class.
A little bit. I would like to see some...
Totally. A little... Same sex,
some diversity in the rap. But look, he doesn't rule an iron fist.
No, he's no Christy.
He's no Christy.
No.
So yeah, he's the caller of the local round dance.
Caller, I love it.
And he's a hiker and a trail angel.
Yes, yes.
So he last saw Mostly Harmless around April 13th, which is 2 months before he died.
Yeah, this story is weird to me because Mike is out on the trail. It's 86 degrees, too hot for Mike, too hot for me. We both decide to get off the trail.
Right.
Mike hitches a ride. He like thumbs a ride.
Yeah.
He gets in a pickup truck. The driver of the pickup truck is like, hey, we just passed another hiker on the street. Should
pick
we turn
him
around?
Up. Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
Is this a party or not? Pick him up. Let's do
it. Like, they stop to go back to have a chat on the side of the road with this hiker.
And
the hiker is all too happy to have the chat with the guys.
It's Mostly Harmless.
Yes.
But another thing, there's another photo. And this also seems, we don't get into how or why. Pick him up. What are we doing here? Come on, trail angel. Am I right? Let's go. So this is something, they don't get into this. I didn't ask Backtrack about this either, but there's another photo, and it seems to be something that hikers do.
Yeah.
When you meet someone, because there's a lot of pictures of him, and they're
they're
all kind of like, cheese. Like, they all kind of look like, let me just get a quick pic of you before we go, you know, because they're not necessarily, like, doing things. So people snap photos of other
but
hikers.
They point out, this is 2 months before he's going to be found dead, they call him pudgy and well-fed.
Well-fed.
Like, he's definitely not starving now.
And he's carrying winter clothes in this enormous backpack in April in Florida, so...
And this is when Mike, one of the trail angels, is like, oh, let me take care of that for you. I'll send it home for you. And Mostly Harmless is like, no, I'm going to hang on to it.
Right. And so Mostly Harmless is found at the campsite that Mike told him about.
Yes.
When I realized that maybe he had just only hiked 5 miles further and that was the end of his hike for 2.5 months, it made me a little curious as to, what's going on here? Was it foul play or just what was it, you know?
Wait, why would he stay 5.5 miles
for two and a half months. Right.
Like, he kind of, like, we still don't know how he died, but it's kind of like he must have just set up there and that was going to be it. He knew that was kind of going to be it.
Which is like, what was the mindset when he was talking to Mike and the other guy on the side of the road? Right. And like,
and then why not give him the winter clothes if he knew he wouldn't make it to winter?
And that's part of the mystery of this whole thing. Was like, well, maybe he didn't die on purpose then. Like, maybe something happened. But we also know that 2 days before he died, he was taking Tylenol. So he was in the right mind enough to be able to do
and
that.
And he had like hundreds of dollars in cash.
And like the highway was right there. He could have had help if he got bit by a snake or something. Like, what happened?
What we don't ever hear about, actually. But again, because Detective Dave told us June and July is not really when people are hiking in that area. But we haven't met anyone who was like, oh, I saw him in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Mike Waterboy was the last person to see him alive.
Right.
Or that we have spoken to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. So now we have two Facebook groups. We have Christy's group and Natasha's group. And Christy is the first one to tell you, oh, I love my group. I have all the power. It's much smaller. Like, I can control everything.
She started a new group. Exactly. It's much smaller. But you know what? Then good. Like, if everyone's getting along and Christy's going to get the job done, then great.
Everyone's getting along. What are you, new here?
I know.
It's the internet. Goddamn.
I know. I know.
So someone in Christy's group gets the case file and the autopsy report, including the photos, because they filed a FOIA request.
Yeah.
And this is where everyone's learning. And you know, there are people in both groups and going back and forth.
Of course. Oh, God.
But
listen.
There's the, quote, small abdominal scar is not that small.
No. Remember, that was from the top of the episode. We were told he had a small abdominal scar. We see it. It is a long scar down, like, his abdomen.
But this is where they just become, I'm like, oh, this, everything is instantly a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
Because it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
So maybe it's not as small as you thought. And like, I don't know. But now we have to go down a rabbit hole of the scar.
And there was this belief that he had cancer. Cancer's never mentioned in the autopsy. So that leaves it wide open. But you can't go calling hospitals and say, like, did you diagnose someone with cancer? Who was it? You know, we're trying to identify this guy.
They're like Googling like Appalachian Trail and cancer just to see if they can come up with anything, and they do.
So they find a blog of a person who was hiking the Appalachian Trail after getting a cancer diagnosis.
Yes.
Ben Reynolds. Now remember, the alias that was used at the hostel is Ben Billamy.
When Mostly Harmless checked into that hostel under a fake name. So it is a weird coincidence, like Ben there, Ben here.
Sure, Ben there, done that.
Right.
So, I don't know. If your name's Ben, you're looking for a trail name, take it with my compliments. So... Now, the blog was about a brain tumor.
Yes.
Nothing that would cause a scar on your stomach, but I guess that doesn't matter because the internet people have gone crazy.
Right. They're convinced that Ben, what's his name?
Ben Reynolds.
Is Ben Billamy, who is mostly harmed. They're convinced.
No, Ben Reynolds is alive and well. His name is Bill Powell.
And he's here.
And in 2012, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And he's like, that blog was like my own little therapy journal. I never thought that anyone would find it. And he's like, I picked Ben Reynolds because I was listening to a lot of Ben Folds 5 at the time. And I'm like, yeah, rocking the suburbs. Let's go.
It always is that. Every time there's like some big fucking mystery.
It's not a conspiracy.
No,
it's a weird coincidence or it just happens to be like coincidence. Like, you people.
I know.
So now, cut to 2020. Bill is now getting harassed
by
these people.
Who is Ben, who is not mostly harmless.
Are you dead? Right. Are you mostly harmless?
And that's the thing. Like, all these people from the Facebook groups are insisting that he prove that he's not the dead guy. They're like, no, you're dead. You're the dead guy.
And there's some nefarious reason why Bill is lying and hiding and whatever.
Right.
And he, Bill's like, oh God, there's no logic to these people.
No,
like,
they're harassing his family.
I was getting messages, emails all week long, weekends, asking me, how can you prove you're not this dead guy? My father, who's getting messages, my sister, my friends, anyone that liked any of my posts. Things get crazier and crazier. Right, by June of 2020, it was 887 people.
He gets over 800 messages between his work email, his home email, his family email.
His
They're
friends,
coming after his wife,
his coworkers. It goes, it's completely out of hand. Everything is a conspiracy theory. It's endless confirmation bias. It's insane.
And he's joining every single Facebook group to try to prove that he is the Ben Reynolds guy, and but also not the mostly harmless
guy. And they still don't believe him.
And they don't believe him.
They're like, what's your angle? And like, this pisses me off so much because he doesn't owe these people anything.
No.
Like, they are completely 100% in the wrong, and then it becomes his responsibility to stop the madness.
He's just trying to save his friends and family from these fucking insane emails. This is like Sandy Hook nonsense.
Right, but like, like, now it's up on him. And, I know. They're not going to believe you anyway.
Yeah. And, like, when you're him, who do you get to help you? You can't go to the police. They don't give a shit.
Right. They do not care. They will tell you it's not actionable.
Yeah.
So they're, like, analyzing photos. They're talking about this guy's brain tumor. Yeah. Like, you don't know him. They're so sure about the medicine he was on. Like, you don't know anything. Like, okay, my friend's cousin's nephew had a brain tumor once, and he was on this medicine, so this guy has to be. It's like, oh, my God.
But then they find an actual Ben Reynolds in Australia. Then they start pouncing on him, insisting that he's the guy, demanding that he prove that he's not dead.
These people are out of their fucking minds. This is unhinged behavior, and you don't want to get to the bottom of it.
Right.
You don't try to act like you're really trying to solve this major crime and try to find an unidentified person and be respectful. No.
But Natasha does come to his. She's like, this is insane, and this has to
Natasha,
stop.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, Natasha, you can't really control a group like that.
Uh-huh.
So it's July 2020.
Two years since he died.
Wow. I know. We didn't even plan that.
We meet the Middlemans, who I have mixed feelings about. They are the CEO and the chief business development officer of a company called Orthrum.
They're biochemists and they're in genetics and they're also in amazing shape.
They are in amazing shape, of course.
But we see them, like, I'm saying that because we see them doing, like, CrossFit or
something. No issue with that, though, huh?
With what?
I mean, it's fine for them. It's fine for us to go to their CrossFit class, but the guy can't jog down the street.
I also want to know why we're at the CrossFit class.
But it didn't stand out to you as a problem. You hate that guy, Nicholas.
Oh, my God. There was a conversation with production. I'm just curious what it was. So their company, what they do is their company works with law enforcement to identify people.
Yeah.
Like, their tech is super new. The ideas are super new.
Well, what I love about what they do is that, like, there's 3 million markers on DNA strands.
Traditional forensic testing right now that the police use to identify people looks at 10 markers in someone's DNA. The sequencing that we do here at Orthrum looks at tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of markers.
They look at, like, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands. They're not trying to match a body to a person. They're trying to take an unidentified body and match it to a region or, yeah, like, a family.
So you can narrow it down.
Which is super useful because it's like, look, like, if all we had to go on was mostly Harmless's body, the only way to identify him would be a one-to-one match. If you get, right, like, test everybody's DNA in the world.
Yeah.
What this company does is, like, well, we're going to take DNA, his DNA, and figure out where in the country he comes from.
And based on all the places where he told people he was from, yes, and all of that information we have, which is, like, a decent amount of information.
It's pretty valuable. Like, I think what they're doing is pretty interesting. I just think it's kind of weird because they want to do it for this case, but they also, it costs $5,000 and they don't want to pay for it themselves.
The cops don't have the money, so they crowdsource it.
I'm like, wait a second. You guys are, like, you look like you're at least presenting like you're billionaires and, like, you're getting all this documentary coverage. You can't just pay the $5,000 to yourselves.
But I guess that's not a business.
I guess.
But I mean, the crowdsourcing shit happens all the time. Just ask Bob Roth.
Yeah.
People are paying, crowdsourcing for DNA tests and whatever all the time.
I thought it was going to be, it was $50,000, $5,000 to these people doesn't seem like a lot of money, but they do it. They go to the Facebook groups, they crowdsource the money and they get it. Bada bing, bada boom.
In 8 days, they get the money.
Yes.
So the company gets the skeletal remains. They're running the DNA. It's not a quick process.
No.
So in the meantime, everyone online is burning everything down and fighting.
Because it was Natasha's group who raised the money. And because it's taking 6 weeks, everyone in Christie's group is saying,
it became this intense waiting game. That's when everyone got really, really stir crazy. Christie's group post would be created saying, like, power hungry Natasha is doing this, or Natasha and all of her minions are doing that. She was feeding this, you've all been led into a trap. They took your money and they're not going to deliver.
She stole your money. You're never going to get the results. You're never going to see it. She's a charlatan. Like, this is such bullshit.
Because they're now competing. It's exactly. Like, I thought we were trying to get to the bottom of this.
Right, because Christie's group is afraid, like, oh my God, the other group is doing the DNA. They're going to solve it before us.
Steal the thunder.
Christie literally says, I hope to beat the science.
Yeah. So now, because this train is never late,
yeah,
here come the death threats.
Right.
So Natasha is getting severely bullied and harassed.
Yes.
And Christie's at the top of it. Now, my thing is this. Maybe Christie didn't send the messages. Maybe she did under a fake account. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, if not for Christie, these people would not be so radicalized and
also,
galvanized.
At any point, Christie could get into the group and say, stop sending death threats to people. Don't send
death threats to people.
Any responsible person would do that.
And she's not doing it. But suddenly, out of the clear blue sky, Christie has solved the case.
Oh, my God. She is posting because once again, Christy wants to be Natasha's group who's doing the science.
Yeah.
So Christy had posted the picture and the story of Mostly Harmless in a Lost Loves forum.
So, no, she hasn't solved this. It's another stupid dead-end story that doesn't go anywhere.
Well, except for the fact that she calls the cops and she's like, I solved it because somebody sent me a picture and she gets a name.
Now, it's a guy who was disowned because he was gay. That part isn't stupid. So to prove that Christy solved it,
yeah,
she sends out a photo to everyone.
Oh my
and
God.
Natasha can't get through this with a straight face. It's a yearbook photo of this guy.
Yeah.
Christy has drawn a beard on him.
Because remember, Mostly Harmless has a beard, like a bushy beard.
We've lost the plot, everyone. This is obviously not the guy.
She's drawn a beard on him with a pen.
With a pen, like a little... You can, like, hear it. The cop spoke to this guy. He's very confused. We have lost the plot.
The guy's not dead. He calls the cops. He's like, why are you looking for me? I was disowned from my family. That was bad enough.
Like, and this poor guy, like, oh my God.
I know.
So now Christy is the one being trashed online because of the stupid drawing on the beard bit. And I'm like, now everything Natasha went through, interestingly enough, Christy's now experienced. And I'm sure now she'll be like, hey, don't do death threats. Because when you get one of those, it's fucking scary.
Exactly.
So Nick, the journalist, writes this story.
October 2020, he's writing it. He's like, it's a presidential election year. I wanted a break from the politics for an hour.
Right.
And he's saying, again, everybody thinks this guy works in tech. Wired magazine is the biggest tech magazine in the world.
Yeah.
We'll write a story about this guy and somebody who worked with him will see it and will be able to identify. Because remember, we still don't know who this guy is.
Right. Or what happened. So the article goes super viral. The groups blow up. Thousands of people are joining.
Over 1.5 million views this article gets.
And nothing.
Nothing.
And so they're like, wait a second. It's really hard to disappear this way. He met a lot of people. We have a lot of photos. Millions of people know about this story with photos and nothing.
He says it's hard to disappear and create an identity that 100 people who meet you can't figure out.
It's somewhat harder to create an identity that 1,000 people hunting on Facebook can't figure out. But how on earth can 1 million people read a story in Wired full of photographs about a guy who's probably in the Wired community fairly closely and not find the guy?
How on earth can 1 million people read an article on Wired full of photographs about a guy who's probably in the Wired community and not find the guy?
Right?
Wild.
I know. So we're back to the DNA. They trace the DNA back to Louisiana, which is where Mostly Harmless told a few people he was from.
Yes.
And now the groups are harassing everyone in Louisiana.
Yeah.
I mean, am I lying? They're now just like, him. You're like, it's crazy. So now it's December 16th, 2020. Someone emails Christy.
Yes.
And they're like, I know this story. I know who this is.
Yep.
And everyone, sit down, pull over, a twist. This is actually the guy.
It's true. His name is Vance Rodriguez. This person who emailed Christy says, my husband worked with him at a Shopper's Choice, and here's a picture. And they send a picture, and we see it, and you're like, oh my God.
And now Christy's like, oh my God, I did it.
I know.
Me and me alone, everyone. It was just me.
Yes.
I even, like, Christy, first of all, someone emailed you.
I know.
And, like, the DNA geniuses did a lot of heavy lifting here,
Christy. Exactly.
Multiple people, it was a collective effort, but this is the beginning of Christy being like, I can't believe I did it.
I know.
This is the most. Everyone, thank you so much. Like, she's everyone, thank you.
I know.
Christy and Christy alone solved it, if you ask Christy.
So Christy is also the one who gets the contact information for the family, and the cops call them, and they say the family was in shock. Like, they didn't even know he was missing. He'd moved to New York and they hadn't had contact with him for years.
And it turns out this guy was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So here's what we learned. He kind of walked away from his life. He paid his landlord 6 months' rent. He left his passport. He left his wallet.
Yeah.
And Nick, the journalist, finds this guy's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who was really, really abusive to her. And Nick was like, he was a bad, bad man.
Yeah. And the way, like, Nick says, because, like, Nick is a real journalist for Wired.
Yeah,
and
he's like,
your hope as a journalist is that when we figured out his name, you would find out some incredible redemptive story. But when we found out his name, we didn't realize that all the things that we would learn about Vance.
No one was like, right, but what if he's a bad guy?
Right.
That never occurred to anybody.
No. So then after that first girlfriend comes forward, at least 3 more women have come forward to say that they were also abused by him.
But the hikers and the internet people now have to deal with the fact that this guy they romanticized for all this time isn't really that great.
Except for Christy, who refuses to accept it.
Right. Now, Brandon, for example, had that wonderful experience with him.
Yeah.
They bonded about their abuse. And it's like, really, hard to come to terms with who this guy really was. But Brandon is like, I believe the women. Like, this is shocking and totally unacceptable. And Brandon's a survivor of abuse, so, like, he gets it. Christy's like, it's not my job to judge. Again, me and I solved this.
Yeah.
Now, right. My theory about this is that this guy being a piece of shit, in her mind, ruins the narrative.
Right.
Like, Christy has to be the hero of this thing. So if this guy sucks, in Christy's mind, it takes away from this incredible thing she did all by herself.
And also, like, she says at one point that, like, it gave her purpose. Like, this is what she's supposed to do with her life now.
Right, but all of these things can be true.
Exactly. It's like, Christy, the point is, like, we know who this, like, now these people have closure. Now these women might have some kind of closure. Yeah. Like, there's value in finding out who this person was. And, like, everybody who worked on this did good work.
And you also never knew him.
Exactly.
You made him out to be this person that you wanted him to be, and he's not.
Yep. And Nick, the journalist, says,
the great mystery is, why did no one find him? And part of it is because he did a really good job of erasing his tracks. And the sad part of it is because no one was looking for him. Because he was an asshole.
Nobody was looking for him because he was an asshole.
He was an asshole. And, like, this is where, like, some of the issues with this is, like, we just get, it's a lot of buildup. And then we find the guy and we realize that he's an abuser. And then it's just kind of like, and end of documentary.
But it's also, like, some of the mysteries also get solved. Like, the way that he got his trail name, he said that he told that story about walking into the campfire. And that's not true at all. Like, the name Mostly Harmless is a book in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which he probably read and romanticized and just ascribed a lot of the characteristics of that stuff to himself.
And once they realized who he was, they could sort of, they found a little bit of his online footprint, and he was doing the I'm mostly harmless thing for years online.
Exactly.
And he even said, I'm mostly harmless, parentheses, for now.
Yeah.
Which is when you know that he was abusive to these women is like a really chilling, diabolical thing to say to people.
It's terrible. And, like, Nick, the journalist, does more research and he learns that, like, this guy was emancipated from his family at 17. And he's like, well, wait a second. You become a legal adult at 18. Like, what was so bad in his family that he couldn't wait that last, like, 9 months. So,
and,
like,
it was bad.
It was probably a cycle of abuse. He's an abuser because he was abused.
Yeah.
You know?
He struggled with his mental health. He was withdrawn. He would, like, completely shut down.
Yes.
And so there's a story that he, and I guess, like, because Nick is telling us this, this is all confirmed.
I would think, I mean, for Wired and The Atlantic, I would think.
Right. But Mostly Harmless tried to kill himself by shooting himself in the stomach, and that's where the scar is from.
Yeah. And he changed his mind and, like, drove himself to the hospital, but that's how dark this guy would go.
Right.
That's the kind of demons this guy was dealing with. And Nick says he thinks his parents were trying to get him help after the suicide attempt, and that's why Mostly Harmless wanted to leave. We don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. And Brandon makes this really, like, really interesting point where he goes,
he seemed sincere and he seemed compassionate to me. Like, he understood, you know? But he was abusive, it seems, and that was certainly very shocking to me. 100% unacceptable.
He's looking back on this conversation he had with this person who he knows now is not a good guy. And he's like, that really could have been, like, choices were made. And I'm like, yes, Brandon, choices were made.
And Brandon is telling this to us as he then starts to sing a song that he sings with his band that he wrote about himself and Mostly Harmless.
I know. It's just some people just really don't want to acknowledge that he was a bad guy because he was nice to them that time.
Of course.
You know, it's like,
and it's like,
sucks.
Maybe he was going to the trail to, like, you know, someone says, like, he had to suffer for all the suffering that he did. And everybody wants to romanticize the story. Like, nobody really knows.
Like,
he was a bad guy.
And it's part of it's like we were saying, not everything is a conspiracy on the internet, everyone. Like, sometimes it's just a coincidence or whatever. But it's also, like, not everything has to be so black and white. Like, it's just, like, you can't romanticize these people. You don't know him. You never met him.
But I also don't think it takes away from the story of, like, a community of people coming together to figure this out. And not because that's necessarily a great thing, but because we get to see the inner workings of what happens when that happens.
Right.
Like, think about all the people along the way that were doxxed, that were harassed, that were, you know, like, if we're going to do this, there should be rules and we need to do it better. And it is a compelling story about, like, the collective fascination with trying to identify an unidentified person and try to understand why he did what he did. And we still don't even
know
how he died.
Yeah.
We don't know if he killed himself. We don't know. We don't know, you know?
Now, Natasha definitely agrees with you. She's done with sleuthing.
Yeah.
She started her own company.
Unless the right case comes along.
Yeah, but she started her own company, the Two Sisters Adventure Company. Christy is taking credit for all of it. A lot of I statements. When I found him, I found me.
Yeah. Brandon is working with kids, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
He's, like, teaching at a preschool or whatever.
Now, it ends in a really bizarre way.
Yeah.
So it ends with Christy. She's being filmed.
Right.
And she gets a phone call. She takes the call and she says she's with cameras. And immediately, without a tear in sight, starts sobbing hysterically.
Yeah.
They've got a story. Tabitha was decapitated.
Oh, God. Hey, Mrs. Young, what's going on?
The crying stops
yeah.
at the drop of a hat immediately and goes, oh, God.
Yeah.
Then answers the phone. Hey, what's going on? And I'm like, I thought you were... It was very weird to see the mask off and then back on again. It was odd.
But the documentary gives us no context for it.
I think it was a little like, this is who Christy really is kind of thing. Chris, I don't know. Christy must be pissed at this documentary. Natasha is riding high.
Totally.
Christy, I don't think, is very happy with this.
Nope. Oh, my God. All right. We did. They call him mostly harmless.
They called him mostly harmless.
Look, I really liked it. If you're on the fence about going to watch it, I would say go watch it. I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated issue for me.
Yes. You know? I agree. And I think we have to do it better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to be online sleuthing, we got to do it better. Yeah. Follow the rules.
Yeah.
Fam, join us on the Patreon. Over 400 full ad-free bonus episodes to download and binge the second you sign up, including Mother God. What's it called?
Love Has Won the Cult of Mother God.
Thank you very much. the Curious Case of Natalia Grace. The
yep.
Twin Flames is going to be coming up soon.
Yep. Lost Women of Highway 20. And then, like, the old school stuff, too.
Everything.
So it's everything.
That has ever been on TV.
Yeah, basically.
Also, since we've been talking about the Facebook group, join our Facebook group. It is a very safe place. Sasha is the best moderator in the world. It's so fun and supportive and loving in there. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group.
No doxing and no death threats allowed.
No.
You have my word on that. Not allowed.
Fam, next week we're covering episode one of a show called The Playboy Murders, which is on Discovery Plus.
Yeah.
It covers the murder of Jasmine Fiore. So stay tuned for the trailer for that and our funny and hilarious outtakes.
Yeah, here's hoping.
And we love you, fam.
We love you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Jasmine loved being at the Playboy Mansion. And she had the perfect body, perfect smile, long blonde hair, just your perfect Playboy model.
Hi, I'm Jasmine, and today we're at sea level.
To be a playmate, it's a ticket to the high life. And Jasmine saw that.
You know, the world was pretty much her oyster, just waiting for her to crack it open.
Men want to date a Playboy model, but they're also simultaneously very, very jealous.
They didn't love each other. He didn't even like her, and she didn't like him.
She sends a text, send a plane for me, come get me.
Yeah, I'm just like, what?
I had to double take when I found out that she had been married before.
I was just like, no. No one who loved a human being would do this.
You always think, oh, God, what could I have done?
What up, thick throat?
Fuck you.
At the Big Cypress
National Preserve?
I don't know why I couldn't do it.
Well, it came with the thing.
Okay.
It was like the sleeping bag that came with the pillow that was 2 inches, but
yeah,
it was like
yeah.
a small pillow.
Oh,
I still
God.
Felt the, like, the curves of the dirt
yeah.
underneath me.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel it right now.
It's real.
You mention it and I can feel it.
Like, it's a real
get
thing.
Get me into my bed. What are we doing out here?
We're being one.
Oh, my God. How's the jawline looking, Aaron?
You know he's not here, right? Is Aaron in the room with us now? Not just in our hearts.
No. He's always with us in our hearts.
Right.
Always.
You don't, like, see him now, right?
Oh, God. That was so... Aaron, how do I look, Aaron?
Because I know he's responding mm-hmm. to you. And then it's like, I'm sure Megan's like, you know Patrick isn't here, right? And this was 2 days ago. Like, you can't
oh,
help
stars.
Each other now.